at 84. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this Monday edition of Miller's Edge. Victory Monday, that is Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Hope everybody's doing great. Obviously, you at least had something to be happy about this weekend. Alabama going on the road, getting a big-time win over number 14th-ranked Missouri at the time. We'll talk about where they landed after that game and obviously where Alabama comes in at now. But again, nonetheless, big-time win, 27-24. Dub over the Tigers in Columbia, Missouri. Obviously, you guys know how we do on the show. Mondays, we break everything down. We'll pull up some tape. We did learn our lesson Friday. We probably need to go back to kind of chopping it up really slow how we were doing it before. That way, we don't worry or have to have the issues that we had Friday. It actually ended up being kind of funny, but good to know. Now we know. We can't just let things run. Good news is the channel, and I'm talking about YouTube right now, we didn't get a strike, all right? So they did temporarily suspend it, but it came back on. But now we understand what to do with all that. Anyway, that being said, we will break down the tape. I obviously will give my thoughts, and hopefully we'll get to a point where we can pull up some plays, at least from this game, kind of break down what exactly happened, give a little bit of a good, bad, and ugly. We'd love to get y'all's thoughts, too. I see everybody pouring into the YouTube stream now, dropping comments. Be ready to drop y'all's thoughts on the game as well. Love to hear what you guys have to say. But we got plenty of time, so we'll dive into that. We'll go to the phone lines. 205-342-9904. We've already got folks lining up. So a lot of people have a lot to talk about right now, and rightfully so, right? Chase, Reed, little recap. Alabama gets their third straight ranked win in a row, right? Georgia, Vanderbilt, now Missouri. And Alabama is rolling and looks to be one of the top teams in the country. I heard a stat. I can't remember what exactly it was, but it was about like the most ranked wins in a start, something like that. So obviously, we're doing some really good stuff, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Before we, it's a couple other things, right? First segment, we always like throwing a couple things out there. I'll update you guys on the latest AP poll in a minute. But a couple other things that had come up. I don't know if you guys saw this. I'm sure you did, right? It's kind of all over the place. Penn State, they pulled the trigger, fired James Franklin, right? I'm not going to lie. That came to a surprise to me. Chase Reed, I don't know about you guys. What did you think when you saw that? I'm not going to lie. I thought it was almost one. You know how there's all these like burner accounts, like fake ESPNs, fake updates or whatever it's called. But like, I thought it was one of those. And I was like, damn, no, they really fired him. Did that throw you guys off a little bit?
Yeah, I got the notification from Pete Nakos and I was like, wait, this got to be a burner account, right? Like middle of the season, like, look, I get it. All right. Penn State lost another game. They're 0-3 in the conference. Like, that's not great at all, okay? But I was like, there's no way this, like, actually expired. So I opened up Twitter, clicked on Pete Nakos' account, confirmed it was actually him, read it, and I was like, wow.
It's legit. Yeah. It honestly, and I'll say this. Look, they've now lost three games. They went into the season being picked as a favorite to win the whole thing. Right. A lot of people had high expectations. There still was a question mark about could they do it in the big ones? Obviously, we've got that answer now. Not only that, I mean, look, when this happens, and what I mean by this, it almost felt like he kind of lost the team at this point. Things were just trending down. I still don't agree with firing him right now. I mean, not even for this reason, but here's about 50 million reasons why I wouldn't have necessarily just done it. I don't know. I guess you still even at the end of the year would have had to deal with it. But I mean, the buyout, right? Here's a breakdown of literally this dude is expected to make $15 a minute, $900 an hour, $21,900 per day, $153,000 per week, and $666,000 a month. for the next 6 years. Golly, man. I know my dad joked about it, but it's honestly not even a joke anymore, man. I mean, one of the best jobs you can have is to be a failed, high expectations type football coach, man. He now goes on to join Jimbo, Ogeron, guys that are literally getting paid to pretty much do nothing. But anyway, I'm just curious what y'all's thoughts are on that. Again, me personally, I wouldn't have done it. I'm always a firm believer, man, even when things aren't going great. When you have a coach who's, I think he was there since, what, like 2014, been there a while, very successful. I don't have his exact numbers. Now, I guess the biggest issues were in the big ones, right? I completely understand that, and that is a big deal. But it's like, man, nowadays, man, all you can really ask for is at least trying to be in contention and just hope that you can find a way to get the chips to fall your way. Obviously, they hadn't really fell his way. And that's why they ended up making this decision. But I don't know. To me, I wouldn't have done that. But it is what it is, man. I'm not an AD. So I'll leave that stuff to those folks. But anyway, I just thought that was big news coming out. I mean, again, I mean, now we're halfway through the year in Penn State, who went from top five team to head coachless. And I wouldn't call it a dumpster fire, but they've got some type of fire going on over there for sure. One other thing, and this is completely irrelevant, but I don't know if you guys saw this, man. Brian Branch, former DB, he got into it with Juju Smith-Schuster after that Chiefs game. And at first, a lot of people thought he was just salty about losing, but then they went back and they had showed, at least from what I saw on social media, there was a bad blindside, you know, block in the back that he took from Juju, and he went and stood on business. But he owned it. He said, obviously, it was immature, shouldn't have done that, but I mean, I'm not gonna lie, man. I mean, when dudes start doing dirty stuff like that, sometimes you got to get that get back. Now, he's going to regret it once that fine hits his seat tomorrow, right? He'll probably have a $25,000, $30,000 fine. But, I mean, hey, man, at least he got his get back. And then last but not least, just real quick, during this final segment, I just want to throw this out there. UAB news. Trent Dilfer, unfortunately, that didn't work out. He was let go as well. You got Roddy White quote tweeting and saying he wants a job. I don't know. Maybe a lot of people will be interested in that UAB job. But anyway, another firing. So it's kind of about that time, man. People are starting to unfortunately hit the chopping block if things aren't going right. But hate that for him. But hopefully UAB can figure something out in the future. That being said, those are some news and notes I had I wanted to hit real quick. Because you guys know when we come back, we're going to dive into this breakdown. I'll give you guys my breakdown, my thoughts on this 27-24 victory over Missouri. Again, third straight rank for Alabama. Plus, we'll go to you guys here in a minute, 205-342-9904. And make sure you guys, if you haven't already, man, hit that like button, subscribe, all that good stuff on the YouTube channel. If you guys are on the app or radio, feel free to dial us in. Plus, you can always drop us an app message. I promise we'll try to get to that as well. And we're going to keep on rolling right here on this Victory Monday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Oh, and I forgot. I got some other big news, man. You guys enjoy breakdowns, right? You guys enjoy hearing from players, former players, people that played the game, know the game, right? Well, we may or may not have some new content coming your way involving another former player that we're probably going to kick off very soon here on the channel, at least for now. Then it's probably going to end up growing into its own thing. But I got something in the works, and I think you guys will be really excited about it. I'll just give you a hint. You guys love getting my defensive perspective. What do you think about getting some offensive perspective on the regular? I'll tell you guys a little bit more about that in a little bit. But first, we'll break down this Alabama-Missouri game right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, let's go ahead and dive into it. It's that time. It's time to break things down. Hope you guys are ready because here we go. All right, 27-24 victory over the Tigers in Columbia. You see, I got the tape pulled up. I'm going to be smart. I'm not going to do what we did Friday. I'm not going to get us suspended, right? Because I know everybody wants to be in here and talk about this game. So I'm not going to do that. But anyway, overall thoughts. Obviously, anytime you go on the road, you win against a ranked opponent, an opponent that hasn't won a game yet, right? An SEC opponent, right? You always have to be proud, happy about that, celebrate that. That's big, right? I will say this. I thought there were some things that we definitely, you know, could have done better in the game. It wasn't a perfect game. It was a little ugly at times, right? But a win is a win, and we're going to be happy about that. I thought the first half, right, obviously we saw how the thing started. That first drive by Missouri was damn near flawless. And I'm just going to be straight up with you guys. When I saw that, I said, oh, shoot. Yeah, it might be one of those days. I was probably about as good as a first drive as I've ever seen. The way that the calls, the way they dialed up, the way they executed. I mean, it was perfect. They had the running game going. Quarterback made plays on the ground, hit his tight end, who I thought was one of the better tight ends in the conference. And I was like, man, all right, this is going to be a long day. But kudos to this defense, Kane Womack, right? Adjusting, right? Figuring themselves out, settling down. Because outside of that, this defense did a really nice job in this football game. Again, going into the game, Missouri was one of the top rushing teams in the country, about 292 on the ground per game. Best running back in the country, Ahmad Hardy, averaging 100 and something a game, right? Seeing how physical and dominant he's been through five games. Jamal Roberts also showing very similar abilities. These guys are very similar. It's very weird, man. They're almost like two peas in a pod. But to see our defense show up the way they did, holding Ahmad Hardy to just 52 yards on 12 carries. Again, I'll get to this in a minute. I don't know why those guys didn't have more carries. It was very interesting to me. But still, only holding him to 52 yards. Jamal Roberts had 50 yards. I'm pretty sure one of those was his long was 39, right? So I was about to say, he really just had one long run. Outside of that, we did a nice job. Their leading rusher was their quarterback, Bo Prabula. 11 carries, 61 yards, average of 5.5, and he did have that touchdown. That being said, if you told me those are going to be the numbers on the ground going into this game, I would have told you I'm damn sure confident that Alabama is going to win it. And I think that was one of the main reasons that Alabama was able to pull this off, is their ability to stop Missouri's ground game. And we knew that was going to be the number one key in this football game. Why? Well, we found this out pretty soon, right? Outside of that first drive, man, Missouri didn't have a vertical threat, right? They didn't have that vertical passing game. I know one of their receivers, their main receiver, got banged up, but still wasn't really until the fourth quarter when they were really in that have to get something done mode. They hit their freshman, Alu Bode. I promise to God, these names, man, are killing me every week. Anyway, they finally found him for three receptions. But outside of that, they struggled. Bo Prabula, to me, just looked shook. He looked like he was just all over the place, frantic, just letting the ball loose, bad throws. But, hey, man, I think you got to credit our defense for some of that as well. Obviously, taking away that running game, making them one-dimensional and doing something that they're not very great at doing, that was big. Couple shout-outs in this game, right? I thought LT Overton was great, man. LT Overton played really well, was very disruptive, was all over the place, always in the backfield. He played great, and he continues to probably be the best guy on defense right now for Alabama. Look, you look at the linebacker play, I thought they were solid as well. Justin Jefferson, you know, flying around, making plays. I think our linebackers have really stepped up and progressed since week one. I mean, it's evident. You're seeing Hill Green get a lot more snaps. They're finding ways to get all three guys on the field. Probably has something to do with some of the injuries at the Wolf spot, but still, man, I thought linebacker play was solid. All those guys, I mean, 7-7-6 in terms of total tackle, so they all contributed there. And then you look at young guys stepping up, man. London Simmons continues to impress, man. I mean, he was, again, for a guy that was a three-star kid out of Mississippi that, I mean, I don't know how many offers he had. I think he got offered just by coming to camp here. I mean, how impressive has he been, man? I think he picked up a sack in this game, if I'm not mistaken. No, he didn't. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm probably mixing him up with something else. But still, he still was disruptive and did a good job. But I do know somebody who did get a sack in this game, or at least they're accredited with one was Keon Keeley, right? You saw Kelby go down with a shoulder injury. I'm not too sure if we have an update on that just yet, but I think it was like one of his first plays, man. He had run a stunt and did a nice job coming inside and ended up finding himself on a half sack with LT Overton. So I know a lot of people were finally glad to see him get some action. And I was too, man. He's been working so hard to try to develop and get better. And his number got called and he made a play when it mattered most. I will say this. And then again, shout out to LT. He had two sacks or a sack and a half on the day. Then looking at the secondary, I know you guys are already asking. We'll talk about it in a little bit. Damani Jackson, right? But we'll talk about the positive real quick. You look at DJ Jean Lee, right? DJ Lee. I mean, he is, if you go back and watch the tape, man, he is playing some really good football, man. And I think it's at the point where, and he already got a lot of snaps. I don't remember the exact snap count, but I think we're probably trending to him starting on the other corner spot opposite of Xavier and then just having Damani come in on sub packages, right? When you get into those dime packages. I'm not writing Damani off by any means, but either he's not fully healthy, he might have something going on, but I feel like we're a couple weeks in a row, maybe 3 weeks in a row where he's just kind of struggled. And that happens at times. I will say this. I mean, he's a really good player. I mean, going into the year, I thought he was arguably one of the, if not the best corner we had. I mean, he's got the tools. But just right now, man, he's just struggling a little bit. And I know DJ's kind of that hot guy. I mean, he had that near pick, right? I mean, you got to see his length on display. I mean, the dude high pointed the football. I mean, it was incredible. He couldn't come down with it, but still ended up making up for it with interception late in the game, kind of sealing things off. But, I mean, I just think, I mean, and they already view him as a starter. He plays a lot. But to me, DJ Lee, man, I mean, he's everything I thought he was going to be and more, right? Just seeing him in the offseason. So, I thought he was very solid as well. So, again, for my defensive notes, I thought we got after it. We did a good job. And then one of the most important notes that I almost missed, holding them to 1 out of 10 on third down, right? I mean, they were non-existent on third down. And our defense did a great job. And one of the main reasons was we did a good job stopping the run. We set them up in third and long. I can't remember what the stat was, but they had a lot more third and long situations. They struggled to push the ball down the field, and that showed. And we were able to get some pressure on the quarterback as well. So hats off to the defense. Again, outside of that first drive, they really fixed some stuff up. Obviously, there still was a couple runs here and there that's going to happen. You're going against a team that runs the football really well. But really, man, I thought our defense did a nice job. We forced some turnovers, right? I said Friday, Missouri showed ball security issues. That showed up. They fumbled the ball. We didn't capitalize, but we did come up with some interceptions in the game, and then one to seal it, which was big as Missouri was trying to march down the field to, you know, steal a field goal or even, hey, maybe score and take the game. So big stop by our defense there again. Moving on to the offensive side of things, man, some good, some bad, but I'll tell you, some excellence, especially from a guy named Ty Simpson. Some of those throws he made, guys, and I'm sure you saw it already, but again, it just rewatching it. This guy, he is making some NFL Sunday type throws. I mean, probably the most impressive one was that fourth and eight or whatever it was. He finds Lotsier Brooks. Didn't even really have his feet set, not necessarily off his back foot, but still, I mean, dude just floats it right in the breadbasket. I mean, perfect placement. Great catch, by the way, by Brooks. And it was good coverage, right, by Missouri. But you talk about, I mean, it was just such a good throw. And then, like, it coming in a moment like that, a high-pressure situation for him to, man, yeah, that dude's playing some ball, man. I mean, again, we still see some of those issues of him holding it a little too long and just trying to make things when it's not there. He'll figure that part out, right, as part of it. Still, you know, again, he's, if you think about it, he's still very, I know he's older, but he's inexperienced. And that's fine. You know, he'll learn from that. But the stuff he's doing, I mean, I know Coach Saban had some comments about top quarterbacks in the country, and he named some other guys first. But I think it's hard to argue. This guy, I mean, is putting himself in the conversation as being the best quarterback in the country, the way he's playing right now. I mean, it's incredible. The accuracy he plays with, the pre-snap, the command of the offense. I mean, we've already talked about it at length, so we're not going to spend too much time talking about it. But he was great in the game. And going against a good defense, again, I mean, you saw their defense, especially in that second half, pick things up. They start the second half with that fumble, a strip sack, right? But again, man, one thing about this team that I'll say that I'm proud of is they've completely kind of reversed course on a lot of issues that we saw earlier. Playing on the road, we look so much more confident and poised, right? Check that box. Getting punched in the mouth, how do we respond? Man, we've been responding great. Check that box. Man, these guys have really done a complete 180. And credit to them, the coaching staff, for figuring everything out and then just finding ways to fix those things, because those are you know, big issues to start the year. And obviously, they've done a nice job fixing that. But I will say a couple other notes. I mean, Jam Miller, I hate that he got knocked out of the game with concussion, man. We were able to kind of get our running game going again this week. I think he was he went for about 85 yards on 20 carries. So obviously, we're continuing to be a very efficient offense, which is interesting because we're like a passing offense, right? Like, we know that, right? We have the skill guys. And that's with Ryan Williams not really being included a whole bunch right now. We're still so effective through the air. But to see that, you know, we're giving Jam the ball 20 times, right? We're dominating the time of possession. I'll be honest, it's really interesting, guys, like if you're looking at the stat sheet, because normally a team that operates the way we do, you wouldn't expect us to dominate the time of possession. But I think that's what makes us so difficult to defend as an offense right now, because it's like, while we are explosive, while we are, you know, high-powered passing team, we have been, I mean, it's like constricting these teams, right? These long drives that we're having, right? Just controlling the tempo of the game. I mean, and then knowing we have the ability to really push it and go score when we need to. I mean, I'll be honest, man, this offense is really taking form, especially now that the running game has slowly emerged. And it's looked really good. But just kind of put a bow on things, 23-31 for Ty, 3 touchdowns. Again, no interceptions, did have the fumble. But again, that's offensive line and running backs. This game, I will say that the protection from the backs was a little bit of an issue for sure. I know the offensive line wasn't perfect again, but you got to give credit where it's due. You're going against one of the best defenses in the country for a reason, right? I mean, they're 2 edge guys, great players. Some of those guys, McClellan on the inside, I mean, they've got good players. Not to mention even, I mean, I'm talking about Missouri's defense. I mean, 13, he's like that 6'2", 225 Husky that they have. They can bring him on pressure. He's physical. I mean, they have some good players on that defense. So, I will say that was definitely one of my things. Got to clean up the protection. Keep Ty clean. We have been doing better with our offensive line play, especially in pass pro. But I feel like last couple weeks is kind of we're showing a little, not some cracks, but you get what I'm saying. We need to make sure we get that sealed up. And I think part of that would come from finding a little more stability on the offensive line. I'm just going to go ahead and say it, guys. I think we've seen enough from the whole right tackle experiment. Michael Carroll's the guy. Now, I don't know if it's an issue where it's, you know, he's still young. Maybe you're worried about, you know, him knowing everything, being up to speed. But I think from a physicality standpoint, right, just what he does in terms of his play on the football field, he's definitely a much better run blocker, 100%. He's physical. He finishes his blocks. I mean, he doesn't play like a freshman in that aspect. He obviously, probably could still continue to work on his pass pro, which is expected. But when you're comparing where he's at as a freshman, where, yes, he might struggle some pass pro, to where Wilkins at, I still would just ride with Michael Carroll. Personally, I don't know why we're still trying to figure that part out. I would just give Michael Carroll as many reps as possible, because he's going to keep getting better and better. You know what I mean? With him, it's really just a matter of youth. I think you just need to go ahead and shore up that right side. Because if you look at the numbers, I think I had them pulled up. Really, a lot of the pressure was coming from the right side. You had Vandermark giving up some. I think it was Formby as well. Here it is right here. Formby gave up that sack, which that was a bad – I'm just going to be honest. That was a bad play, man. I'm not trying to jump on the kid, but he kind of put his hands up. He didn't know. Maybe he thought the dude jumped the snap. I don't know why his hands were up, but I mean, he got beat like a drum, man. Dude ran right by him. I think Michael Carroll's your guy at right tackle. I don't know why we're doing that, but, you know, those coaches get paid a lot more money than I do. Vandermark, 2 pressures and a sack. I know Jaden Roberts also got in the game as well. So they're still trying to figure that part out. But if we can figure out that right side a little bit better, make sure our backs get their stuff together in pass pro, I think we'll be okay. But I think over the last 2 weeks, man, I think it makes like 8 sacks. So we got to get that clean back up. I was giving our offensive line credit after the Georgia game. But the last 2 weeks, we've kind of showed some cracks. So really, I would say that my biggest complaint offensively was really just that. But to be fair, you're going against probably honestly one of the top defensive fronts in the country. Not to mention, we knew this going into the game, their edge guys were like 1 and 2 in the conference in terms of pressure. So I'm not going to overreact yet, but I want to point that out that we got to get that sealed up a little bit better. And I think if we can do that, I think we'll be solid. But outside of that, man, I think that's pretty much it that I got for now. And of course, I'm going to think of more things as they come, but that's fine. I'll hit them when they come. Only other thing that's on my mind is I know Caden Proctor got yet another trick play, and it came from the Wildcat. I mean, he's caught a pass. He took a handoff. Now he literally just took a snap. I'll be honest. I know why everybody was celebrating. I talked about this on my post-game show that I do on the network. Again, we do that every game after the game, about an hour after, me and Gray Robertson. But I said this. I'm probably one of the few people. I'm not the biggest fan of that play, and here's why. You're putting the ball in somebody's hands who doesn't really have experience doing that in a critical situation. Like, if you're just doing a quick handoff and he's just tucking, running, cool. But, like, when I see a 370-pound lineman that doesn't do this often, take a snap, and it was, like, way low. So, like, they did, like, one of those trick fronts, right, where you literally had Brailsford snapping it sideways. Jam was the only guy to his right, and it was literally, like, four guys to left of Brailsford. So you're literally doing a sideways snap to a 6'7", 370-pound tackle that, you know what I mean, doesn't do that often. Direct snap, then he's running. And then I see him leaping defenders, which, again, is cool and all until somebody punches the ball out or, you know what I mean? Like, to me, I just was like, I feel like that we're getting a little too fancy, a little too cute with some of that stuff. That's just my opinion. I'm not Ryan Grubb. He gets paid a whole hell lot of money to do it, and it worked. But I just, to me, I hope we're, again, it gets the excitement going and stuff. But if it goes south, I'm telling you guys right now, you're going to understand where I'm coming from. I would just personally feel better, like, put the ball in somebody's hand, like a back, somebody that you know. You know what I mean? Like, that's just me, though. Unless it's like the handoff, just tell him, take it, two hand, tuck, whatever. But like him, direct snap and leaping, nah, man. We're doing a little too much. But yeah. And again, I'm thinking more stuff, but that's just kind of my overall just thought off the top on this game. But again, 27-24 win over Missouri. Another ranked win, third one in a row. Can't beat it. We'll take it. Alabama moves up to number 6 in the latest AP poll. Again, keeping on climbing. And you got another ranked opponent coming to Tuscaloosa this week. Obviously, we know what that game is. It is the third week of October. The Vols coming into town. Another opportunity to get another ranked win, which, again, is going to just keep making our resume more and more and more impressive, which is good. It's what we need, right, to set ourselves up down the road. But we're going to be where our feet are, and we're going to take a timeout. We come back. We'll get y'all's thoughts to see if we got folks lining up. We'll go to the phone lines. I want to talk to you guys, get y'all's thoughts on this game. We'll keep breaking it down. I got the tape pulled up. We're going to play it smart. We're not going to get copyrighted. Don't worry. I'm going to do what we normally do, but I'm going to show some plays, especially during the breaks, right? So if you guys want to see that, come check us out on the YouTube stream at The Miller's Edge. Completely free. All we do is ask you like, subscribe, and all that good stuff. And we'll definitely break down some plays from this game. And we'll answer y'all's questions. I see we got plenty of questions in the chat. I'll definitely answer those as well, as we always do right here on The Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. We'll be right back.
Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-91-
To go. Flooring so durable, even your in-laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients.
nations from every generation,
across the United States,
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers,
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers,
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are ElusiveThread.com. Your West Alabama high school football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College, Congressman Robert Adderholt, and Taco Casa.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly from Alabama's game against the Missouri Tigers. We'll do that starting at 2 p.m. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond, we'll talk to Martin Houston, and we'll take your phone calls on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sport.
The longest running sports program in
radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at Wyatt.Fulton@townsquaremedia.com and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Get your life back, baby.
Stephen Mesrino, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation,
across the United States,
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers,
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers,
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are in options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky this afternoon, the high today 82, clear tonight, the low 57. Tomorrow and Wednesday, a good supply of sunshine both days, highs between 82 and 85. And Thursday, partly to mostly sunny with a high at 84. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We might have to just keep until about 5 minutes of call, though, this time, just so we can get everybody in here, because I know we're loaded up. We got Super Joe up first. Joe, welcome in. Going once, twice, he might have dropped. If you want to circle back, feel free. Sorry, I know you called early in the show, but we had to get through our breakdown first. We got Josh from Georgia up next. Josh, welcome in.
Well, what's going on, Christian? How we doing on this marvelous Victory Monday?
What's up, Josh? Love the energy.
Son, I'm telling you what, I am hyped, and here is why. You have done said it, but I want to say it again just because it feels good to say it. Third ranked win in a row. What That's team right. in the country right now has more? I don't think they do.
I don't think so.
Told my buddy this morning in a text, I asked him, because this is a running joke with me and him, I said, are we really the best 5-0 football team in the country? I said, who has better wins than us? We got wins over Georgia, Vanderbilt, who was undefeated and ranked at the time, and now an undefeated Missouri team, and two of those wins are on the road. I mean, I'm True. Telling you what, this feels good.
Yeah, no, it does. Complete turnaround from week one, man.
Complete turnaround.
It's interesting, man. Florida State's gone on to lose every single conference game in a very weak ACC conference. And here we are just steamrolling through the SEC again. I know, knock on wood. I mean, obviously, we got a lot of games we played, but still, like you said, man, really impressive resume through the halfway point of the season.
Right. And I got the day off of work. That's one reason I was able to call. And I try to catch you when I can, but I was able to call in today. And I'm over here actually spending the rest of the afternoon with my girlfriend in East Alabama. And I just stopped by the racetrack at Talladega just to take a picture. And they got race weekend this weekend, so a lot of activity going on over here. But, dude, I'm telling you what, it feels good as far as watching the tide roll right now.
Absolutely,
and I could
man.
Get technical and break it down, but I know I ain't got a lot of time. But I would like to see a few things clean up. And I will say this real quick. I do completely agree with you about the...
Take your time.
I do completely agree with you about Formby. I seen him get beat twice Saturday, and it was bad. I mean, I'm not downing the kid. I think he's a great kid. I mean, he's a good player. But I will say the two times he got beat, I'm like, dude. And, I mean, I've seen Michael Carroll, and why not go ahead and work him in and get him a lot more reps? And, I mean, that one, was it not the play that he got beat where it put us in that fourth down and eight situation to where where Ty ended up lobbing the ball to Lautier Brooks?
I don't remember the exact sequence, but I do know, I mean, that sack put us in a bad spot.
Right. But but I completely agree with you with that. And I'll go ahead and say I agree with you about the practice thing. It's fun to watch him with the ball in hand, but I'm more like, you know, you want to be careful when you do that. But I will ask you this as a former defender, and I'm not going to disagree with you about it. I get it. You know, you don't want to cough up the football. But as a former defender, if you're on the other side of that, no matter how he gets the ball, do you want to try and tackle him once he has it?
Oh, man, I'll tell you straight up, man. I was on one of my buddies' podcasts, Josh McMillan, former Bama linebacker. Asked about that. I said, man, I'm chopping his ass like a tree. I wish I would see somebody that big running the ball at me, man. Hell no. He better pray he's got some strong ankle, knees, and hip bones. I ain't getting nothing above the hips. No, sir.
Right.
360. Right. Better not fall on top of me either.
Right.
Yeah, no. Right. I get that point. That's why I said, I mean, look, little
like I said, I'm not.
You know what I mean? Like a quick little handoff,
right.
like they did last week. I'm cool with it. I was like, direct. I'm talking about not even a straight up. I'm talking about a diagonal direct snap.
Yeah, he's really.
Over here
looking
over people. I'm like, man, I love the athleticism. I'm like, brother, you kind of make me nervous now.
Right. And I will say this on the game overall. Sure, it got a little too close for comfort. But the main thing is when that clock ticked off and it read zeros across the board on time, 27-24, we got more points than they did, and we beat them at their place. And it was another ranked win, an undefeated SEC team. And, hey, we're continuing to roll. I know we dropped all the way down to 21, but we're back up to number 6. And I wish I could tell them boys in that locker room, hey, don't focus on what that number is by your name right now. Focus game by game, week by week. Keep fighting, keep climbing, and keep rolling. So.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man. That's the way to it, man. 1 week at a time. And they've taken that approach. I mean, like, you can see.
I don't see any
hangover from the week prior. They're going out, and it's a fresh new game, and they're going out and doing what they need to do, man. So hats off to them. I mean, I know a lot of people are writing Bama off after week one, and I hate to say it, but look, to be fair, what we put on tape that week was so uncharacteristic of Alabama. I'll be honest with you.
Right.
I don't blame a lot of people. But the turnaround that we've seen, hats off to Kalen DeBoer and these guys, man, because they made the decision from that week. And each week, man, they've proven it day in and day out and week in and week out. So looking forward to it, man. This is going to be another good test. Tennessee come here, obviously.
Dude, I'm telling you.
We know how it went last year, but it's going to be a good one, man.
Right. Yeah, but it is at our place. And I know people was expecting Tennessee to drop off, but I will say, as a football fan, I did watch what I could of the Georgia-Tennessee game. And I will give credit where credit is due. Aguilar does not look like a bad quarterback, but he is coming to our place. It's at night. It's under the lights. It's going to be loud. It's going to be raucous. Will I get to be there? No. Why? Because I live 3 hours away, and it's just not going to work out for me to be there this weekend. But I will be in front of my TV at my house screaming my ever-loving living head off.
There you go. Hey, that's all that matters. Hey, and just make sure you have that cigar ready too, man. Code Miller's Edge, right. Cigar and our cigars. If you don't have one yet, man, drop that order in. They might be able to get it to you on time.
Yeah, buddy. Well, we appreciate you and look forward to the rest of the show and have a great day. And as always, Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, Josh. Roll Tide, man. Good to hear from you. Good deal, man. All right. So we only got a few minutes, so let me hit a couple quick notes. In terms of injuries in the game, definitely praying for Derek Meadows, man. That was a scary shot he took. And to be fair, that defender was trying to make a play. Now, I'm not saying, I agree it was targeting, but I don't think he was trying to knock the dude cold out like that. But that was one hell of a hit he put on him. But I will say this, it made me think about it, because, I mean, Derek, he's been getting some good play recently. Obviously, I know we've got some guys banged up, but this leads me to think about this. I was thinking about this morning, man. And I don't want to jump too far ahead, because I know obviously we're enjoying what we got right now, and we need to, because, again, we're focused on this season, what the guys are doing, and what we're working towards, right? And that's obviously winning some championships. But you can't help but be excited for the future when you're turning on the tape and you're seeing London Simmons make an impact. You're seeing Derek Meadows go in there, and you're seeing the ability that he has. The guy is 6'5", but moves like he's much smaller. Seeing Lotsier Brooks, and he's playing like he's a junior getting ready to be one of the guys taken in the draft. Turn on the Michael Carroll at right tackle, right? And you look at some other guys on the defense side of the ball. DJ Lee, his ability, what he has to offer. Even young guys like Dre Kirkpatrick Jr., who, I mean, just brings some juice and physicality, knowing that he's going to get an opportunity here soon. I'll be honest. I mean, look, QB Reese at the linebacker spot when he got some play a few weeks ago. Again, not jumping too far ahead, but I just wanted to say, I mean, you got to tip your hat to everybody I'm recruiting, because – not all those guys just named were like top rated guys. I know we had one of the top recruiting classes, but Lotsier Brooks, London Simmons, right? Derek Meadows. I know London was a 3-star, but other guys like 4-stars, but they weren't like, you know, really, really high rated guys. You know what I mean? Like they might've been 4-stars, but still, I mean, and they're making some of the biggest impacts. So I don't know. Maybe you guys are like me, maybe you're not, but I just was thinking, just watching all the young guys that we have making plays. We're in for a really bright future, because just think about it. It seems like the coaching is starting to kind of figure things out. They're getting settled in. They've got young guys already showing stuff. You got a quarterback and Keelan Russell sitting there waiting. I mean, the young backs that we have. I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. I know it's way too early to say this, but I think week in and week out, I'm feeling more and more confident about what we're rebuilding here post-Coach Saban, and looking pretty bright, man. Looking pretty bright. Just like hour number two is looking bright. We're about to go to this top hour break. When we come back, we're going back to the phone lines. We got my guy KJ. We got Carson. We got a whole bunch of people lined up. We'll go to you when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
It's time to win some cash on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC. W265CG Tuscaloosa. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 850. That's 850. The code again is 850.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app for your chance to win $1,000. Two special winners will win $10,000. WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfect.
After a really rough day overseas, Justin Fields, quarterback for the New York Jets, under some fire in media, but his head coach Aaron Glenn admits it was a bad game. No need for change just yet.
He took a step back, you know, and I'm with you guys 100%. And we can't have that. You know, we have to get better than that. And he knows that. And he knows that better than anyone. I don't think you just try to bench a player after having one true bad game, because I thought the other games he played fairly well.
Rams receiver Puka Nacua, who leads the NFL this year in catches, suffered an ankle sprain on Sunday. According to head coach Sean McVay, he is day-to-day and his status for Week 7 is uncertain. Eagles pass rusher Za'Darius Smith has announced his retirement from football. According to the San Diego Union-Tribune, a letter to them, Padres manager Mike Schlitt is retiring with 2 years remaining on his contract. He's stepping away, citing a severe toll the job has taken on him mentally and physically.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at tuscaloosacdjr.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHsystem.com.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We were watching a little bit of the tape during the break. Again, you can check that out on our YouTube channel as we're streaming right now on the Miller's Edge YouTube channel. But just, again, talking a little bit about the defense. Going into this game, you're going against offense that averaged 292 yards on the ground, the number one running back in the country, right, at least by yards and, in my opinion, by his play. That being said, if you look at it, right, and we saw the two runs. You had the explosive quarterback run from Bo Perbula on that first drive for like 23 yards. And then you had the explosive run from Jamal Roberts of 39 yards. Those two runs alone, those two plays combined for 62 yards. You take those out, you take those away, that leaves you at holding them to 101 yards. And say they got 3 and 3 off of those plays, that would be 107, right? So that's a hell of an effort by our defense, right? A really good job by our guys. But I got pulled up right here, that stretch that they ran with Jamal Roberts, and you see what happens here. Again, the good news is these explosives, it's not like we just got beat, right? See the right side of the screen? We're trying to, you know, get physical, knock guys back, but the problem comes from the backers, right? It looks like we're a little late to get a line right here. You see guys running up to the line of scrimmage. You're late to get a line. Looks like Justin Jefferson right here. He's got to be in that B gap. He's got to be right there. But we get sealed. That's all they're trying to do. They're trying to seal you off right there. Creates a huge hole. And obviously, you're going to break through arm tackles. And luckily, I don't know if he just was trying to run too fast, start stumbling, but he got hawked down pretty quickly. Nice effort by DJ Lee and company. But you can see it from the end zone right here. Jans did his nice job shedding his block. Could have made that play and should have, right? You got to find a way, right? Because that ends up being a 39-yard game because we don't. But it really starts, these guys can't get sealed off. Backers got to get a line, get in their gaps. Can't have that. But good effort by DJ Lee, man. Hey, he's playing some good ball, man. Really, really good ball. Back to the phone lines. We'll keep breaking this stuff down, talking about it. 205-342-9904. And by the way, the answer to the post-game show is Crimson Tide Sports Network. So you can, that comes on Tide 100.9, whatever network or whatever radio station you listen to the Crimson Tide Sports Network. That's where you can catch the post-game show that I do alongside Gray Roberts. And then really good stuff. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Next up, we got KJ. KJ, you still there? Oh, man, he might have dropped. KJ, you with us? Going once, twice. Damn, I wanted to talk to my guy. KJ, circle back if you're still hanging around. Carson, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
What's up, brother?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Man, can't complain. Sorry, man. You guys know, man, I spent like the first hour trying to get all this talking in and then go to you guys. So I apologize for the wait.
I mean, that's why you get paid the big bucks. You got a job to
chatty
do.
Patty. I'm a chatty patty on Monday, man. I don't know who said that in the chat that day, but now I can't stop saying it.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah, I think that you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to bring up a lot of the stuff you brought up. But I think I'll start with the kind of negative stuff because I don't think Wilkin Formby should be on that field, man. Maybe at guard. But then I tried to look back at the tape, and I think he's the one who stepped on Ty's foot on the touchdown that got called back. Not to say that's a technical thing or, you know, but it's just like insult to injury, right? Like, I'm pretty sure it was Formby who stepped on his foot. So Michael Carroll has to be on the field. He's just outplayed him. And I think the combination, the Jaden Roberts-Michael Carroll combination is the one that has looked the best, in my opinion. I don't know if you agree with that, but, you know, maybe rotate Geno in there. But, like, that seems pretty effective so far. But I don't know. But Formby, he's just struggled, man, especially critical moments, man. Big plays that we need. He's not done a good job in pass protection. So I don't know. But overall, you got to love the performance because we're just boa constricting teams. We're just choking them out. And in all the stats that matter, team stats, we're beating them, you know?
That's what's interesting. If you look at, like, time of possession for a team like us who passes the ball a lot, right, and we're really successful doing it, man, we just have been dominating the time of possession. We did it against Georgia, pretty sure we did it against Vanderbilt, and we did it again. And really that's credit to these long drives that we're having. Now, granted, our running game has come to life over the last 3 weeks much better than it was, so that obviously contributes. But I think, too, if you ask me, the fact that we're a huddle team, we go to line, we're bringing the clock down to like one because we're getting all these checks. That plays a role too, obviously. But it's not like we're just trying to get all these big home run shots. I think Ryan Grubb has just been doing a really nice job. And with all due respect, and I think Nick Sheridan's a good coach as well, but I think you can just see the difference, man. As good as Ty is playing right now, I know I think that's obviously a lot on him. I think a lot, too, can be attributed to Ryan Grubb and the job that he's doing, man. I just think he does a really nice job with his play calls, getting guys involved. I mean, they're distributing the football all around the field. When we didn't have a running game, we found ways to make do with the extensions of the running game. And I think these long drives, man, I think that was a big reason why Missouri kind of got in that mode. I can't explain why they went away from the running game other than I know we were doing a pretty good job with it. But still, you would think they would at least try to just keep hitting something off because they knew at some point they probably hit. But I think us taking so much clock, it makes it almost triggers something the other coaching staff, like, oh, we got to get something. But they're really not in that type of mode, man.
I think you're onto something there because I thought the same thing during the game where they're in, like, pressure mode, you know, or they're in, like, high intensity, like, oh, we got to go fast, we got to score quick. And we're just, like, putting them to sleep. You know, like choking them out, just putting them into submission, making them make a play. I knew I said it before the game. I think I said it in chat. I said that if we force Prabula to beat us with his arm, he's going to play for us. Like, he can't do it. They don't have that type of vertical passing game. And late in the game, they ended up hitting on one of those shots to that freshman. But for the most of the game, he just crumbled where he had to make big throws. And I love the pressure we were able to get on him. Even though he scrambled out and made some plays, we were able to get pressure on him. We were able to – I wanted to ask you, at the beginning of the game, what did you think of their secondary, like us going to the screen early right at that nickel, that linebacker that's disguised as a nickel? I'm like, oh, man, I thought we were kind of going to be in some trouble because – we hadn't really faced a physical secondary that's going to reroute in zone and try to put their hands on you. And, I mean, we managed it pretty well, but what were your thoughts, like, especially after that first drive?
Yeah, I was impressed by the physicality of their secondary, right? And I love having a player like 13 for them. I mean, it's so beneficial. And I think that's why you're starting to see us kind of move Justin Jefferson in that role. It lets you kind of play – whether you want to call it a 4-3 or just get a little bit bigger, but knowing that he can, I mean, I wouldn't have my man on slot guys, but I mean, Justin Jefferson's a hell of an athlete. I mean, a dude, he can run. That being said, I agree. When I first saw that, I was like, man, that might be a little bit of a matchup that could cause some issues. Just like we saw, like guys like that blowing up the screen game, right? Guys getting hands. Yeah,
ruining the quick stuff.
Yeah, ruining, taking away some of the quick stuff, but also, like you mentioned, that's a great point. Like, I feel like a lot of teams have been bad about rerouting our receivers. They're either playing real soft because they're scared of the deep threat, or when they play up, I mean, I think our guys are just, you know, really talented. But I haven't seen many reroutes or guys being real handsy with guys, which I think if you want to have a chance against our receiving core, that's one of the things you got to do. You got to get handsy. And I thought, I was like, man, this is going to be an interesting challenge. But I just think, man, like I got this clip pulled up. Ty just does such a good job, man. Like, even when challenges like that present themselves, his accuracy allows him to fit things into windows. His timing is so good right now. I mean, he's right on the money with the timing. I'm even seeing him look guys off. He's holding his eyes.
Just the one on the safety
a little bit. Yeah, man.
I mean, yeah.
That helps kind of overcompensate for some of those things that the defensive guys can try to do to try to slow things down for you. So, I mean, with him playing at the level he's playing at, I mean, it's almost like we have an answer for so many things. Like, I thought, like, I'm like, all right, we just got to bring pressure and really force issue with Ty, which I think that showed to have some success at times. But still, it's like, if you don't blitz just perfect and you don't have perfect timing with it, man, he's going to find that window where he can squeeze it, or you see how confident he is. I mean, and he's accurate when he does it, too. So, shoot, man.
Right. We talked about that last week. I think I called in last week, and that's what it was on. And I asked, you know, what is going to be able to slow our offense down? Just to play devil's advocate, what can do it? And you said pressure, but the thing is, he was pressured, and we didn't do a great. I mean, we did a good job, but they got a physical defense, man. They got some Damon Wilson and Zion Young, like they got some guys that can really get after you, and they do a good job of it. And Ty was pressured, and we were still able to just have an answer, get the first down, convert it. I mean, I think here's an interesting stat before I let you go. We have the down and distance average distance to a first down all season has been under 4 yards. And that's with, like, the criticisms of the running game. I think it was 3.5 yards against Missouri, and before Missouri it was 3.7 yards. Or 3.9 or something. So we're getting into really favorable stuff down and distance. And I just, hats off to the offense, especially just choking teams out, putting them into submission by the end of the game. It's been really impressive to watch.
Yeah, and then it's literally the flip side for Missouri, right? I mean, they came into the game number one in third down efficiency. Why? Because they had basically the best running game in college football, setting them up for third and short. Yep. But it was the complete opposite. We did such a good job on first and second down against these guys. It put them in third and long situations. They had no vertical passing threat, and they couldn't do anything. I look at all they had was they kept just checking the ball down to the backs and just hoping he would make a guy miss. That literally was the only passing game they had for about 75% of the game. So you're right, man. Offensively, we're doing a good job of that. And then defensively, we basically flipped it on them and did a nice job. But Carson, I appreciate you, man. Great stuff as always, brother. And thanks for being patient, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. got a big one coming up this weekend. I got Bama by 50 at home.
Hey. Yeah, dude, I hope you beat these guys by 50. I would not be mad about that, man. Carson, you have a good one, brother.
Yeah. You too, man. Roll Tide. Yes,
roll Tide. All right, good deal. Let's do this. Let's set a timeout. We come back. We'll keep rolling on the phone lines. We got KJ back on. We'll get to Ellis as well. And then we'll keep breaking this tape down again through the breaks right here on the YouTube channel at the Miller's Edge. We are streaming live. Come check us out. Again, quick timeout. We'll be right back. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Tuscaloosa Tractor, Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Fried Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Jumpson Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus RUS, and Adams Heating and Cooling.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky this afternoon, the high today 82, clear tonight, the low 57. Tomorrow and Wednesday, a good supply of sunshine both days, highs between 82 and 85. And Thursday, partly to mostly sunny with a high at 84. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
In the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. All right, about to go back to the phone lines. We got KJ up next. Real quick, I want to just pull this play up. This is that touchdown they scored off of, right? We're playing cover three. Braze got curl flat. I don't know why he first of all, he should take this guy. Anytime somebody threatens your flat like that, I wouldn't recommend that. Anyway, he still ends up being somewhat in position, but obviously not really in position. And then I know that this is the big thing everybody's confused about, Damani. So again, in cover three, he's a deep third player, so that's where he's doing his job, right? Now, when he comes to break on this, I'm just assuming that he thought this ball was overthrown maybe, and he was going to, which doesn't really make sense to me either, though, because he would end up catching it out of bounds. I'll be honest. I don't know exactly. Again, he's a deep third player. That's why he comes off, right? He's passing to the middle field safety because he sees this guy. And I'm just to, I'll be honest, I don't even know. I'm because even if the ball landed out there, I mean, there's no interception there. I would have went and hit the dude. I wouldn't even have worried about the pick, but I don't know. And obviously, we know how that goes. So there's that play. If you guys wonder what happened, it wasn't the call, right? The call was fine. Bray takes the guy to the flat. He cuts up. You end up running with him. But yeah, that's basically what happened. So there you guys have it. Touchdown. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. 205-342-9904. We've got, oh, wait, that's interesting. I don't know why the radio station got taken off. All right, we're back up. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We got KJ up next. KJ, welcome in.
What up, though?
There he is. What's up, dude? Where you been at, bro?
Feeling like a villain, man. Staying out of the way.
Yeah.
Staying out of the way.
Yeah, you've been doing that, all right, man. You still babysitting?
You got some toxic fans, man. And yeah, for sure. He's 7 months now, so he's moving fast. But yeah, y'all got some toxic fans, bro.
Who has toxic fans? Wait, whoa, what happened?
Bama fans are ridiculous. Like, yo, I get on Twitter. I haven't been on Twitter in forever. I get on Twitter, and the first thing I see is one of the frat people, you know, one of Wyatt, some group of people, the frat boys, you know, those that group. Brian Williams is missing because he's painting his nails. I'm like, bro, you're a Bama fan. You're weird. Like, what are you doing? Like, y'all cannot be. Y'all are really weird. But, like, what's up with Grubb and Ryan, like, what's really going on?
I'll be honest with you. I don't have an answer on it. I'll say this. I think he's probably banged up. If you ask me, I mean, only one target.
But I feel like I get that. But this is what I feel like. Because you cannot take any complimentary thing that Grubb has said about Ryan Wentz, bro. Like, he does not speak of him positively at all. Like, it's kind of.
Well, then that might be the true answer. That might be, and I'll be honest with you. You want me to be, I'm going to keep it a buck with you.
Yeah.
When I saw a couple snaps where I was like, I don't know if that's really a guy that's banged up. That almost looks like a guy that's kind of like out of it. Like he's kind of checked out. But I don't want to sit there and be saying that kind of stuff on live radio. I hadn't talked to nobody. I hadn't asked nobody. I know most people, my shoes would have been texting immediately. It's not my business. I mean, he might have some, he's work. I don't know. But. There was a clip, I forgot what it was, but he was kind of going to the flat. And maybe, I don't know, maybe he was banged up and it was kind of, I don't know, starting to nag him. But to me, the body language is more kind of like, man, I'm kind of over this right now. And I'll be honest with you, after seeing some of those clips of Jamarcus Shepherd and knowing how he rocks, they might be being a little hard on him right now. And looking out, if that is the case...
It looks like they're trying to humble him in a sense, like some self-love type of situation. Yeah. I don't know, bro. Like, I have not. I've listened to all of the interviews still. Coach, I have not heard a man be complimentary of Ryan Williams. That he's been complimentary of everybody but Ryan Williams. And it's like, I don't know, bro. Like, I mean, I'm not a coach or anything like that, but I'm tuned in with the NFL. Like, I know how Bama fans are acting right now. They're 17 over. And this is not a praise session, but guys, Ryan Williams is going to be drafted higher than every receiver in that room, y'all. Like, I hate to be that person, but he's going to be drafted higher than any person in that room. That guy has a crazy immaculate talent. You have to find a way to get him the ball. Like, you cannot. I get the drill sergeant thing and, to make him, like the main thing is the main thing, which I've heard he doesn't even have that. It's not even that of an issue. Because the guy voluntarily went to go work with Devontae Smith when he could have been home with his girlfriend. You know what I mean? So he wants to be great. It's just the opportunity. What are we doing now?
No, but I'm just saying this. Like, and again, I don't know. I mean, part of me is like, I don't know if he really was that banged up because.
I'm not buying that.
He was on the injury report, and then they took him off. I mean, if he really was that banged up, I feel like they would have just left him on there. Unless when he got hit in the back, I mean, remember he had a concussion like 2 weeks ago. Maybe
then he went out and had 100 yards. He
rattled
last
a little
game.
Bit, but they didn't want to. Let me not say like that because that's gonna sound bad. I'm not saying they like. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe
we can be honest.
They could have had concerns. Yeah. I'm saying maybe they had concerns that he kind of maybe took a shot, maybe re-aggravated a concussion type deal, but he wasn't really like. Diagnose of one, so it's kind of like the blur lines. Again, I'm just throwing out hypotheticals. I'm not trying to say we would. Right. I'm just saying, I know how football works.
Oh no, you can't say it, but we lying about Hale and what's the other Mbakwe right now. Those people those people are leaving. That's what they're doing. They're leaving. They're not all of that. He's sick, and they're leaving. They're pissed.
Hell, I'm sick. There is a lot of sickness stuff going around, but I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you.
I'm not commenting on that.
But this is
what I want to comment on. It's too much of praise going on right now with Bama fans about this defense and how they held this man to this amount of yards. Guys, if they committed to running the football, he could have ran for $250 on us easily if he wanted to. That's my first thing. We need to credit Grubb and we need to credit Kirby Moore for them, I don't know, colluding with each other to decide to not get I guess Grubb put pressure on him to make this, like Kirby Moore freak out to try to play catch up quick. Well, they were down by 10, so to play catch up quick. But when the game got close again, I'm not sure why they did not just continuously run the football. Like, I would just... Yeah.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
As a matter of fact, the box score shows they only had 17 combined carries between the two backs. That's insane to me. Jam Miller had more carries than the two of those guys combined. Granted,
for sure.
Again, time of possession, we did have the ball a lot longer. What was the time of possession? I think it was, 38 to 21 minutes. So to be fair, we held. And I'm, that time of possession with mixed with the ability to really stretch the ball downfield, and now we're developing that running. I mean, like, bro, we're like boa constrictors, bro. And I think that's what's happening. I think we're putting stress on these other teams to feel like they have to play keep up, even though they're not yet in those situations.
Same thing with Vanderbilt.
Yep. Yeah, because Vanderbilt did the same thing. Vanderbilt got away with what they do. Missouri got away with what they do. Like, and I like part of me is like, yes, I do want to credit the defense for showing that they can stop things. But at the same time, it's evident these people are getting away from what they're doing. And I think they're seeing these long drives that we're having. And it's like, it's triggering that clock in their head. Like, oh, damn, we got to figure something out. We got to get points. I don't know. But to your point, I will say, yes, I agree that if they did commit to the running game, who knows? They probably would have had a little bit more success there. But to be fair, they didn't for whatever reason. And I mean, on 17 carries, I mean, holding those guys to what they were, even though, like, in real, I don't know if you heard me say the stat, but 39 yards was the long for Roberts, their running back, too. You take away that big play off that stretch. They really held them. I mean, they locked those dudes down for the most part, which to me, that's all about I can ask for from this defense after watching them week one and saying, oh, hell, man, these dudes, I mean, couldn't stop a cold. You know what I'm saying? Like, now they've cleaned that part up for the most part, and I'm happy. But still some things we need to clean up for sure. But it's really,
and the reason I'm tough on them is because the reason I'm tough on them because I feel like we got the, I mean, Todd's playing at a championship level right now. Like, so let's not tempered my expectations. No, we have a championship roster, bro. So I'm not gonna be, you know, I want to see him. Like, I think Josh Tate was like, Bama fans act like they lost. Like, no, bro, it's not like they act like they lost. It's just the fact of the matter is the game could have been way – we were sloppy. We were – they didn't execution on the defense. They still have a break. Like, the stuff that Kane Womack has been saying needs to be cleaned up and will be addressed and will be approved, I still see the same thing, man. Like, it's kind of frustrating.
I was about to say, I think – sometimes, like, the way our defense plays, it can really throw you off, because I think some people, like, they'll see us play for like 2.5-3 quarters, and yes, we're playing really good, but to me, an elite defense, man, we're not that. We're not
elite. Oh, no. And I don't even want us to be elite. I don't even want us to be elite. I want us to be like militarily, like sound, like a sound defense, to the point that where we, you know what I mean? Like,
that's one of the main things that's keeping us from reaching our potential. Like, I watch these tapes, I'm telling you, it's the explosive plays that we give up. If we can find a way to limit the explosive plays, like this defense, I'll be honest with you, until we find a way to really have like guys like Missouri's front, I feel like we're that away from being elite. If we had a front like that, I definitely would say, oh, well, yeah, we could be elite. We don't have that. We have good players up front that do a really good job, but we don't have 8 and 9 coming off the edge.
Oh yeah, no. We got
4th and 5th
round guys.
Right, listen. But the good news is, I mean, you can win with that. Like, we're holding teams. I don't know exactly where we rank. I had to pull it up, and I'm not going to waste too much time. But we're limiting the points for a lot of teams. But I also want people to remember, these teams aren't holding the football a whole bunch either. Like, we're keeping the ball away from a lot of people. So there's a lot of things to look at. We just got to really, the biggest thing for me is clean up the explosive plays. And a lot of those come from guys not being gap sound. That's fixable. So that's the good news. But you're right. We are playing at a championship level. But I think what Josh Pate should understand is a win is a win. But to be fair, Missouri was a vertical attack away from really winning that game. Like, if
they had no vertical. And then that's the thing.
They had no vertical game. If they had the ability to make plays down the field, I'm not gonna lie to you, there's a good chance we probably would have lost that game the way we played. I'm not saying they're better than us, but because of the way we played. Because literally, even with all the big highlights and big moments that we had, those 3-for-3 on fourth down, which, I mean, hell of an execution by our guys, and hats off to the coaches for being aggressive and trusting those guys to do that. Missouri still ended up with the football marching down the field. And I'm just telling you, I mean, if they had a quarterback that could connect, I mean, they would have at least tied the game.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's why I think some people, whatever Josh Pate is referring to, I think that's why some people are still aren't like a
hundred. Yeah, he probably buddies with Kane Womack, and you know how that'd be when they have.
Well, I mean, that's what I am too. I mean, I dap those guys. They love.
But you're not tell it like it is. Some people still, and I'm not saying he does that. You know how people feel. Hey,
no, I know what you mean. Well, because I think they respect me because I mean, even when I have to be honest, I mean, I do it in a respectful way, and they understand.
Right. You don't got to kiss somebody's butt.
I'm not calling for jobs, and I always try to come with reason. My job is about analyzing things. I've never been one. Like, my job is to break the game down. Like, if there's some bad and ugly, I have to mention that. I just do it in a respectful way, and they understand that. But but the good news is, man. I think we're just a few things away from really being like we have not hit our full potential yet.
I agree 100% on both sides of the ball here.
I think it's on the horizon, man. I think it's coming. Somebody in the chat said, is this caller a Bama fan? Absolutely. KJ is a Bama fan, man. He just keeps it real, man. That's all it is. Nothing wrong with that. He's a big
guy. Yeah, I'm a Bama fan, guys.
Well, good to hear from you, bro. Don't go on another 3, 4, 5 month hiatus, man. I mean,
you're a little more running, bro. All right, yes, sir. Y'all I got to pull up the Greenville, man, and go to your dad's church. I heard you said it.
I'm sure he would love that, man. He'd probably call you up on stage. Just don't say
that. Oh, no, he can't do that. Please. He don't want me to go up there talking about King Solomon.
We'll probably need to rethink that. KJ, be easy, bro.
All right, y'all take care.
Yes, sir, you too. All right, good deal. Let's hit the timeout and come back. We got Ellis real quick, and then we'll and MC, and then we'll keep rolling. But again, during the breaks, we're going to keep going to this tape. Got some plays to pull up, and then keep on rolling right here, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
He'll go on the toss to Jam. He cuts it back. He's got a first down.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide battle Tennessee on the third Saturday in October. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online
at options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio. ADIO.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, let's keep on rolling. We've got Ellis up next. Ellis, welcome in.
What's going on, Christian?
What's up, Ellis?
The hillbillies are coming. The hillbillies are coming.
Yeah, they are, man. This Saturday night game, too. It's going to be a good one. And I forgot to mention this, man. They're doing a 10-year anniversary for the 2015 National Championship team, which was the first year, the first National Championship year of my career. That was my registered freshman year. So really cool thing.
Awesome.
To look forward to. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be in the stands, that for sure. Loud and proud.
Oh yeah.
This game, I will lose my voice.
Well, you lose completely every week my voice. Anyway, but this week it's going to be even worse.
Yeah. So this week's going to be because the hillbillies are coming.
That's right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good game, man. Another opportunity to rack.
It's going to be good.
We're collecting ranked wins like trading cards right now, man.
I love it. You know, it ain't going to be blowouts and all that. You know, I was nervous now. I ain't going to lie to you there at the end. before that young man caught that interception, man, I was nervous. I was pacing the floor. And I thought, Lord, have mercy, please. And then when he intercepted that ball, I went,
yeah, we needed that. But,
yes, and boy, our defense is, you know, they're just playing so much better. Don't you think so?
They're playing a lot better. Like we talked about with KJ Ellis, I always say the biggest thing right now is we just have to find a way to limit the explosive plays. Or like on the screen I got pulled up right here. I mean, we do a nice job. Kane dials up a pressure. Basically, the way it works is you got pretty much everybody coming except it's like cover zero. You got straight man, and then everybody's coming, but then you have two guys pop out, right? Right here, you see it's the two edge guys. Well, I should say the big defensive edge. You got LT and Collins, and you send the safety off the edge, and it's Keon Sab, man. He's wide open, free, got a clean hit. Now, the tackle does a good job of recognizing late, and that's why this works out so well. It's because those guys, and that's why those guys pop late. See, that's the whole point of this blitz. He's taking the attention of the tackle to give this guy enough time to sneak by. Tackle sees it late, gets enough push, but we got to finish these, right? Like, when you're in that point, I know you're getting pushed by, but you got to grab them. You got to knock the ball out. You got to find something. We got to come home right here. Got to, you know, capitalize.
Oh, yeah. Team.
But you're right, though. Well, we're playing much better, and we did a good job against a team that was averaging almost 300 yards on the ground. So I definitely want to tip my hat to the defense.
And like you were saying earlier, you know, them two big how much was it? What was it? 70-something yards between them two big long runs?
Yeah, it was 62 or so yards, yeah, between with two runs. So you take those out, I mean, you're holding to them about 102 or so on the day, which is really impressive. Yeah, man.
I agree. We need to stop that. But other than that, I mean, it's spot on. And then the throw he made to Brooks right there, close to the sideline. Man, yeah. That's hard to do right there. It's got to be.
Yeah. That was an NFL throw. I mean, literally that moment in the game, kind of throwing off his back foot a little bit. I mean, Ty's been, I'm telling you, he's going to make a case by the end of the year of being the best quarterback, which could end up meaning he could be one of the top guys taken in this draft, man. Going into the year, people didn't really talk about him like that. And boy, has he, he's made a statement through the first half of the season.
I was going to ask you one thing not containing the football, but where is the Good Feet store located at?
The Good Feet store is right there in Midtown Village. It's off of McFarland Boulevard. You can walk in there if you want and test them out, kind of see what they have to offer. But it's if you know where, like, the Best Buy is, there's like an old TV. Yeah, all those stores right there off of McFarland in that shopping plaza. The Good Feet store is right there. Ironically, it's across from the Chuck E. Cheese, and I've never gone to the Chuck E. Cheese there. Don't you guys worry about that. But it always is funny. Every time I see the Good Feet store, I just see a big Chuck E. Cheese logo, and I'm like, man, that reminds me when I was a kid. But yeah, that's the best way to think about it. Huh?
You need to go try it out.
Yeah, you know, if until I have some kids or something, or maybe a little nephew or something, maybe I'll take them out. I don't think myself should be going into Chuck E. Cheese. That might be concerning. So, yeah, I'll probably stay away. I'll probably stick to the Good Feet store. But, Ellis, we appreciate you, man. Great hearing from you. If we don't hear from you before this weekend, man, be safe on that road.
Well, I'm going to try to stop in by there and check them out because I've got problems with my legs and feet. So, it might do it some good.
Well, check them out, man. And hopefully they can help you, man. Just like they've helped me and millions of other people. They're awesome. Ellis, we appreciate you, brother.
Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. All right. Good deal. That was our buddy Ellis. Quick time out to come back. We got MC. Then we'll wrap our breakdown up with this Alabama-Missouri game. Plus, tomorrow, we'll keep on rolling a little bit if we miss some, but we'll turn our attention to the Volunteers. Good old Rocky Top. Again, coming to Tuscaloosa this weekend. All that coming up on the Miller's Edge. Tide under .9, 1230 WTVC.
Game with Ryan. Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly from Alabama's game against the Missouri Tigers. We'll do that starting at 2 p.m. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond, we'll talk to Martin Houston, and we'll take your phone calls on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sport.
The longest-running sports
program. Learn another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky this afternoon, the high today 82. Clear tonight, the low 57. Tomorrow and Wednesday, a good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 82 and 85. And Thursday, partly to mostly sunny with a high at 84. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got one more phone call we'll get to, and then we'll wrap things up. We got MC up next. MC, welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, Christian? How you doing?
I'm good, bro. What's up?
Nothing much. Another day, another dollar.
That's right.
But I wanted to call in and say, man, I maybe this had been said earlier in the show and I just didn't catch it because I was busy doing things. But the last few people and some of the comments I read, some people aren't super like happy with the defense and still have complaints. And everybody's entitled to their opinion, but this is what I'll say. And forgive me if this was already mentioned, but Missouri had like one of the top scoring offenses in the country, like top five, and not in the conference, but in the country. Missouri also had the number two defense, once again, not in the conference, but in the country. They had a short-lived, longest home win streak because Bama's been ruining people's win streak. And Alabama, who's a team that we has been known for the past few years, even under Coach Saban's, the last few years under Coach Saban's leadership, would go on the road and it would be a flip of a coin on what type of performance you got. And Alabama still went on the road and played a hell of a game against Missouri and stopped one of the highest scoring offenses and one of the best defenses in the country and got out of there with 3 points. My question is, what more do you guys want from this team? I mean, I want things to improve and tighten up. Like, one of my biggest pet peeves is if you send a guy on the corner off a corner blitz, you better get home because it's high risk, high reward. So you do any type of what's it called, like a corner cat blitz? You send that guy off the corner, he better get there because that now you have a weakness. Now you're exposing yourself. You got to get there. But aside from that, I loved what I saw from the team. I loved that they faced adversity. I loved that they fought back and took the lead. I loved that they didn't implode. I loved the fact that they made big plays when it happened. And I have said this before. If you're telling me that from one end of the field up to the red zone, the team can move the ball, I'm okay with that as long as you shut down the red zone. And Alabama, more times than not, they gave up a play in the red zone, but more times than not, Alabama's defense does a good job inside the red zone. So, yeah. I wanted Alabama to win by 20 points as well, but I'm also happy that we just got the win and went against a team that was a top five in offense and defense. So, I don't know where all the ton of the complaints come from. I mean, every play, you can find somebody that's doing something that you could be like, oh, this guy should have did this, or oh, this guy should have did that. But overall, this defense looks bought in. They look bought in. Coach Womack is putting them in a position to make plays. And when he does that, that's where forced fumbles are created. That's when picks are occurring. So I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just not losing my mind like everybody else is or some fans are. But I feel fine with the team. And in regards to what a couple calls ago was saying about Josh Pate, what Josh Pate was basically just saying was Alabama's going to win. It just won't look like how it was with Coach Saban at the helm. That's basically what he was saying. And that's true. Coach Saban's gone. The team isn't going to look the same way. And if you ask me, the offense might have found another gear. simply because you got to play caller and Coach DeBoer, and you got an offensive coordinator and Ryan Grubb. So I think the offense found another gear, and I think the defense is still taking in the form. All I'm going to say is when this defense finally, you know, gets everyone settled and everybody understands the schemes and does their job, this defense can go from being a good defense to skip great to being an elite defense. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but what are you saying? Am I just being too lackadaisical with it, or do you think some people got some unrealistic expectations?
No, if I'm being honest with you, I think there's guess what, right? I'm in the middle, like I always am. I would say this. I think when you look at defenses of the past, right, or just an elite defense, I don't think we have that, right? And that's fine. I'm not saying you have to, especially when you have an offense as effective as ours. But I will say what they've done since week one, the growth that they've had, right, has been excellent. And that's taken into account that we got a number of injuries on the defensive side of the football as well, right? I think people need to remember that part. But I would say my biggest issue with the defense right now is what I mentioned the last two calls, man, the explosive plays. If they can find a way to clean up those explosive plays, which I highlighted in the stream too, like you see a lot of it, it's you're not being gap sound, right? Fundamental type stuff is really just making sure you're lined up correct. You're working to your gap. You're getting off the block. It's not like guys just getting like, you know, blown off the ball or dominated. No, it's stuff you can clean up. Really, if you eliminate like a lot of these explosive plays, our numbers do actually look elite. So I'll say this. I mean, I don't think people are trying to be too hard on the defense or have too high of expectations. I think they just know there's another layer of potential that we can tap into that we haven't yet. And they just want to see that. They want to see them be at their full potential, right? And I think that's all that is. But I think you're also right when you say going and facing the Missouri team who was a really good offense going into the game. I will say after seeing them not really having that vertical threat, I mean, does limit them. And we made them one-dimensional, which was good. But I do think this defense has a lot more room to grow. They've already shown a lot of growth, and that's exciting to know. And I think they're doing what they need to do to help our offense out. And like you said, the red zone and coming up in critical moments, that's huge, man. And if we could just find a way to limit the explosive plays, man, I think they'll be that much better. So that's the good news. MC, we got to get out of here, man. I appreciate you so much, brother.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the call, man. Have a great day.
Yes, sir. You too, brother. Good deal. That'll do it for us on this Victory Monday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Big thanks to Reed, Chase, Behind the Glass, all our listeners, all the folks on our YouTube stream, all the folks listening via Tide 100.9 FM, the app, our Facebook stream, all that good stuff as well. Appreciate you guys, like always. Look forward to doing it again in 22 hours right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. We'll see you.